From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. So walk ye in Him. If we have received Christ Himself in our inmost hearts, our new life will manifest its intimate acquaintance with Him by a walk of faith in Him. Walking implies action. Our religion is not to be confined to our closet. We must carry out into practical effect that which we believe. If a man walks in Christ, then he so acts as Christ would act. For Christ being in him, his hope, his love, his joy, his life, he is the reflection of the image of Jesus. And men say of that man, he is like his master. He lives like Jesus Christ. Walking signifies progress. So walk ye in Him. Proceed from grace to grace. Run forward until you reach the uttermost degree of knowledge that a man can attain concerning our Beloved. Walking implies continuance. There must be a perpetual abiding in Christ. How many Christians think that in the morning and evening they ought to come into the company of Jesus, and may then give their hearts to the world all the day. But this is poor living. We should always be with Him, treading in His steps and doing His will. Walking also implies habit. When we speak of a man's walk and conversation, we mean his habits, the constant tenor of his life. Now if we sometimes enjoy Christ and then forget Him, sometimes call Him ours and anon lose our hold, that is not a habit. We do not walk in Him. We must keep to Him. Cling to Him, never let Him go, but live and have our being in Him. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Persevere in the same way in which ye have begun, and as at the first Christ Jesus was the trust of your faith, the source of your life, the principle of your action, and the joy of your spirit, so let Him be the same till life's end. The same when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and enter into the joy and the rest which remain for the people of God. O Holy Spirit, enable us to obey this heavenly precept.
Time.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Currently on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns is bringing an in-depth study of the law of God. Today he will conclude his treatment of the fourth commandment, which admonishes us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This injunction reflects God's own rest following the 6 days of creation. This commandment is permanent in its duration. It has never been rescinded. It is simple in its precept, for its intention is to give man a day to renew himself spiritually so that he might have strength to live for Christ. Finally, the Sabbath is blessed in its effects. It is evangelical, for it points us to Christ, and it calls upon us to exercise faith and dependence upon God. Now to conclude this message on the fourth commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
This commandment forbids work on the Sabbath day, and it forbids the willful neglect of Sabbath duties. That's very clear from our text. Isaiah, in one of the most important texts in the Bible on the Sabbath, in chapter 58, verse 13, says, "Turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, and honorable." It tells you to honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Actually, it says, nor speaking a word. Now, obviously, it can't just mean you stop speaking on the Sabbath day. For there's no biblical rule or example to that end. And as I thought of it, how did God create? God spoke. Each day he created by his word. And when he came to the Sabbath day, his creative word did not go forth. He had finished. He wasn't speaking his word, creative. Creation was his business. He rested from it the Sabbath day. And that's what this is telling us. the other days of the week, your word, your purpose, your business, your thing. That's what's engaging your mind. But not in the Sabbath day. Christians should not treat the Sabbath day as just another day to work and just another day for their own pleasure or their own recreation or their own pursuits. And yet withal, the Lord allows works of necessity and mercy and piety. This is not a hard and cruel imposition surrounded by endless hair splitting. The Lord Jesus Christ did work on the Sabbath day. He allowed his disciples to pluck corn on the Sabbath day to feed and to satisfy their hunger. He said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, when he says the Sabbath was made for man, he says it's made for his good. Man was not made for the Sabbath. In other words, man is not to be the slave of endless do's and don'ts and regulations that men have made up. He says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So the question is, what does the Lord allow? He allows works of necessity. Luke 14:5, which of you shall have an ox or an ass fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out in the Sabbath day? When his disciples plucked corn, Matthew 12:7, Jesus said they were guiltless. Why? Because it was necessary. There are some works that are necessary on the Sabbath. Now that may change from generation to generation. And this is where Christians need to have their consciences instructed by the Word of God. We live in a society where what wasn't necessary 50 years ago, in fact, maybe what wasn't even known 50 years ago, has become necessary. The Lord Jesus says, works of necessity do not infringe the Sabbath. Works of mercy, Mark 3 verse 4, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days to save life? Yes, it is. If you have a heart attack on the Sabbath day, you don't want the heart specialist to say, no, I can't do it, I'll have to wait till tomorrow. It's a work of mercy. And works of piety. Matthew 12:5, have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So works of necessity, works of mercy, works of piety. These are the things that the Lord allows. Now let's bring our lives to that standard. Men and women, I want you to understand this is what God is saying in His law for His people. Let us not simply pull down the standard of the Word of God. Let's not cast it aside and play havoc with the divine requirement. Let us not turn the allowable of works of necessity and mercy and piety into an excuse for the sinful. Many complain that Sabbath observance is so harsh. It's not Sabbath observance that's harsh. It's not the law of God that's harsh. It's not the example of Christ that's harsh. It's the heart that's hardened against God that's harsh. Because really it's a spirit of rebellion that detests the Sabbath day. Why do some people neglect the Sabbath and reject it? For the same reason as the people did in Nehemiah chapter 13, 15 through 22. Greed. Greed. There are Christians who don't have to work the Lord's day, but they do so because of greed. And God will curse their greed. And they'll not be one cent the better off. And even if they are, they'll be spiritually destitute. Maybe more to the point, there are some people who reject the Sabbath day because of pleasure. I've already read from Isaiah 58 and verse 13. And the word pleasure there is not speaking particularly of recreation, but it is speaking of people in their willful rejection of God's law and their willful rebellion, saying, I'm going to do in this day what pleases me. Be it business or pleasure, what pleases me. That's why they reject the Lord's day. How many Christians spend the Lord's day in front of a goggle box watching a ball game? Many Christians live their lives in such a way that the only holy ground they know on the Lord's day is the golf course. Rejecting the command of God, either through greed or through love of pleasure. Then some people compromise it by using just a brief part to satisfy their conscience. I'll go to church and then I'll watch the ball game. Or I'll go to church, and here's a very specious one, and it's going to be a day of rest. We're not going to cook in our house today. We're not going to switch the light or the heat on under the meat. We're not going to do that. We're not going to prepare it on Saturday and eat on the Lord's Day or anything like that. We're just going to go out and we're going to eat in the restaurant. Hold a second. Did God not enact that your servants should rest just as much as you? Did He not? This is compromising the Lord's day. Now, there are times of necessity. I am not talking about the exceptional. I'm talking about the normal. And when Christians can take the law of God on the fourth commandment, and they can treat it so cavalierly, how on earth can they be surprised when the ungodly treat the rest of the law of God with disdain? If you disdain the fourth commandment, can you be surprised if the ungodly disdain the rest? I'm going to tell you a story. This happened just a few months ago. We were going with some folk, I forget who actually, in town. We were going into the Outback Steakhouse. Well, actually, we were waiting. You always have to wait there. See, the music's so good, people queue up or line up to get in. It gives you an ulcer just to put up with it. But anyway, standing outside, there was a few people around about. I wasn't listening because they were speaking, I wasn't eavesdropping, they were listening or speaking very loudly. This rather loud young woman made it clear she was a waitress in a restaurant. Was she bitter? Some Christian had given her a tip, and with the tip had given her a tract with an invitation to church. And she said, oh yes, these Christians will come and they'll ask me to church, but I have to work to feed them when they come out of church. I said to myself, I wish the hypocrite who gave her the tract could be here to hear her now. Is it not true? What defense could that Christian make? I don't know of any. Some hate the Sabbath, some despise it, some compromise it, and that's a great pity. Because the Sabbath is blessed in its observation. God promises, Isaiah 56:2 and 58:13 and 14, He promises to bless the man that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it. He means this to be a festival to us. It's not a day of drudgery. It's a time to refresh our bodies, to feed our souls. I thought of it this way. The Sabbath day is a time to spend at our house and at His house. And it expresses three very precious things for a believer. It expresses our likeness to God. As He rested, so we rest. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. It expresses our liberty in Christ. Deuteronomy 5:15, the Lord brought you out and redeemed you. Therefore, keep the Sabbath day. It expresses our love for Christ. Isaiah 58:13 equates calling the Sabbath a delight with honoring the Lord. Think of those three things. Are there any things more precious to a Christian? Likeness to Christ, liberty in Christ, love for Christ, and they are all expressed by an honest keeping of the Christian Sabbath. And one final thing, and my time is gone. It will be gone. Look over the ground. If you've counted, I've given you six great truths, and I'm going to finish with a very brief seven. The Sabbath is divine in its institution. The Sabbath is moral in its constitution. The Sabbath is gracious in its purpose. The Sabbath is permanent in its duration. The Sabbath is simple in its precept. The Sabbath is blessed in its observance. And finally, the Sabbath is evangelical. I'm tempted to say Christ-filled in its message. It points us constantly to Christ. Hebrews 4:9, there remains a keeping of Sabbath because Christ has entered into His rest. It's pointing you to Christ. The Sabbath constantly challenges us to look beyond the things of this world to the things of eternity. The things of this world are insistent. Work 7 days a week. Get into the rat race of life. This world is all demanding. It's all consuming. The Sabbath day says, stand back, man. Catch your breath, man. Get your eyes not on the things of time, but on the things of eternity. But I'm going to lose money. You the better to lose money than fellowship with God. For the Sabbath calls for faith and dependence on the Lord. It builds individuals. It builds families. It builds churches in the faith of the gospel. And it teaches them we must obey God rather than man. This is the Christian Sabbath. We should call it a delight. We should guard it as something more precious than gold. And most of all, we should ensure that we use this Sabbath day to hear the Word of God, to receive the Gospel, and so to be ready to enter in to our Savior's eternal rest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.